This is Will Ford from Football 365, and you're listening to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast.
Drogba! They've pulled the rabbit out of the hat again!
What's up, everyone? You're listening to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast, your number one source for all things Chelsea. On this week's episode, there is only one topic to talk about: Frank Lampard sacked by Chelsea Football Club, Thomas Tuchel, the new man in charge. What is his philosophy? Why did it go so wrong for Lampard? And so much more. Now, here are your hosts all the way from the UK, Mikey Berth and Chris.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of At the Bridge Pod. I'm your host, Mikey, and today I'm joined by the two co-hosts, as always, Berth and Chris. I already know how he's doing, but how are we doing, guys?
I'll start because I've been in the wars this week. As I've just mentioned off air, I have literally, my head has been pounded more times than Stamford Bridge's goal. And yeah, I've been in the wars this week, but I'm good. I'm looking forward to the podcast. Chris, how are you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm all right compared to you. I'm not as accident prone as you, so compared
well, to you, that's
I'm having a really good week.
Some early shade being thrown. Right, so we're as always, we're going to head into the newsroom and see what the latest is at Stamford Bridge. So, huge news to lead with, as you all expect. So, sadly, no game reviews this week, but they'll be back next week, don't you worry. So, it was rumoured, talked about, and now it's official. Fikayo Tomori has joined AC Milan on a six-month loan deal, £25 million option to buy at the end. What? You don't want the other news. But that's the main topic. But see what I did there? Genuinely, though, thoughts on this loan move, guys?
Yeah, I think it's actually quite a clever move for Tomori. I think he'll be a big club now where he'll get a lot more time on the ball. I don't think it'll be as intense as the Premier League in Serie A. And he's got a lot of good heads around him. I mean, he works with Zlatan now, you know, so there's players like that around him. So it'll be a good move for him. I hope he gets game time there. And it's a shame he's gone from Stamford Bridge. It would have been interesting to see how Tuchel had worked with him. But I hope Tomori does well because he's a fantastic defender and hopefully we'll see him back at the Bridge soon.
Yeah, I think it's a good move for him. I think going to AC Milan, he gets that sort of big club feel because they are a massive club in Italy. Then he'll get more game time there than he, well, at the time would have done under Lampard, it seemed. Although that might have changed now. But it's a shame that they've got the option to buy him. I'd have preferred it to not have the option to buy. Because it kind of takes everything out of our hands, really. If he does well there and we think, oh, he could have done something for us, if they activate that option to buy, then there's not a lot we can do. So that's the only thing about it that was a shame, really. I'd have preferred it without the option to buy.
Yeah, fair point. I mean, obviously, he can turn it down. Obviously, it's still down to himself. If he doesn't want to move on a permanent, he doesn't obviously have to move. He can stay put in Chelsea, which I think he might, because he's got a chance to actually, when you think about it, he's got a chance to come back under a new manager. So there's a strong chance that if it goes really well, they might not, activate the option, they may choose to, but he had a relatively reasonable debut, I'd say, for Milan against Inter in the Coppa Italia. Didn't turn out the right result for him or Milan, which is a shame because my love for Milan. But yeah, he seems to be. We'll see. It's a wait and see. We'll have to review it at the end of the season. So naturally, we're going to be back to talk our main topic after this.
For Chelsea fans everywhere, this is the ultimate football app for you. Never miss a match with live commentary, goal alerts, lineups, in-game stats and TV and radio links for over 100 leagues globally. Download the free CFC Blues app now from the App Store and Google Play.
Welcome back, listeners. Now, last week we asked the question, are we nearing the end of Frank Lampard's tenure as Chelsea manager? Well, the answer in hindsight was clearly yes. Yes, we were. And on Monday the 25th of January 2021, the news broke in the morning that he was going to be sacked by the club, with Thomas Tuchel, the ready-made replacement, to take charge. Now, I'm sure many listeners took to Twitter after and probably saw what a complete shit show it was, to be honest. There was a lot of toxicity, a lot of anger, which, okay, I understand anger when it's a club legend in charge, but some comments, they were just not on. I think listeners of this pod are quite rational fans, and they saw it just like I did and thought, come on, really? We're a community first. Let's not turn on each other just because we have a different opinion to someone else. You know, Berth, Chris and I don't always agree in the group chat as well, but we you know, it's true, but we respect each other and each other's views. That's the key line. Anyway, guys, your thoughts on this sacking?
I think it was one of them where it was always going to happen. I think I feel disappointed, not because of that he was doing really, a really good job, but because of who it is. I think we all felt a slight bit of disappointment when he got sacked because of who it was. No one wanted to see Lampard go. I think I speak for all of us on that. I think we all wanted him to do really well.
Of course.
Results wise, looking at it, if it was anyone else, then I think people probably would have accepted it. But because it's Lampard, I think that's why we got a lot of backlash on Twitter. And from both sides as well, I think you got a lot of people that are very pro Lampard, and rightfully so. I mean, our greatest ever player. I think, you know, there are some people that cross the line on that side. And I think there's people on the other side who are totally against Lampard and, you know, basically being very toxic in the same sense. And they weren't in the right as well. And it was a horrible clash the other day when Lampard got sacked, because everyone was being very negative. There's no positivity at all. And it was just, it's a bit of a mess really, because, you know, no one wanted this to end for Lampard. We wanted him to be in charge for years and years, but it's football, it's Chelsea. You're not shocked really. I don't think anyone was really that shocked, even though it was disappointed. I don't think anyone was shocked. And yeah, I think in a way it was good for Lampard to get him out of the firing line. I still think he'll become a great manager. I think you could argue it's definitely a job too soon for him. I think one day we'll be back at Stamford Bridge without doubt. But yeah, I think Tuchel, Tuchel, whatever you want to call him, I think getting him on an 18-month loan is a very sensible option. I think it's a very clever move. You know what he's like with the board. You know what our board are like with a club legend as well. You know, they take absolutely no prisoners. They are ruthless. And it has worked for us in the past, and we'll have to wait and see if it works for us again in the future.
Chris?
It was almost inevitable, I think. I mean, people can talk about projects and what Lampard was trying to do. And I honestly believe if Abramovich could have seen Lampard trying to instill some sort of identity onto the team, it just wasn't working. I think he would have backed him for longer. But there was no direction. So I don't... People talking about time and giving him time, you can't give someone time when you can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And I think that was the problem. We wasn't
Sorry to interrupt, Chris. Sorry, I do apologise. But I think what I found a bit... I think Lampard should have got the next three games at least, because we got Wolves, Burnley, and then have we got maybe Tottenham and then another home fixture? I think we had four quite winnable games. I think you should have had those four to see how that would have panned out. I think if you'd have lost the first one, lost the first two, then yeah, fair enough. But because we just won and we actually weren't on that bad of form, I think we'd won like three out of four or not lost in four, whatever, for Leicester. I think you should have had a different run of games. But our club is ruthless. And I do agree with you, Chris, totally. I do agree that there's sort of no plan going forward really of Lampard.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've always said this, you've got to distinguish the difference. You've got Lampard the player and Lampard the manager. Simple as that. Lampard the player, his legacy, it's cemented, never can be touched, absolute legend, club icon, top goal scorer in our history. Simple. The manager, it's a different entity. Same as you could say, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at United. Him as a player and him as a manager. Arteta as well, you know, and so on, so forth. Unfortunately, it just wasn't working or clicking this season. And we know how our board act. If they see the top four in jeopardy, the trigger gets pulled. Whether you like it or not, that is just how it is. You know, we support the club. We support the manager, of course, but we support the club at the end of the day. And you know, I know there were some fans kicking back about Roman Abramovich. And think about it, he's done an incredible amount for this club over the last 17-ish years since he took over. And remember, without him, the club probably wouldn't exist. It would have gone bankrupt. It would have gone under, simple as that. If fans might be thinking, well, really? Would we be? Honestly, look back. We might do an episode one day covering it, but our finances were dire. They were so, so bad. In regards to the managerial appointment, you know, we favoured a German-speaking coach. That news was coming out quite a lot, probably due to the form of Havertz and Werner. You know, there was tension behind the scenes, if we're led to believe. Recent form, yeah, it was poor. Since we beat Leeds at the start of December, we'd only won two at the last eight Premier League games. Those two wins were coming against West Ham, who are fourth at the moment at time of recording, not bad, and Fulham. But the performances, they were nothing to cheer or shout about, really. They weren't great performances. You had the Athletic report that the relationship between Lampard and Granovskaya, it deteriorated dramatically this season. Players felt ignored by Lampard. And, you know, when you spend £200 million in a single window, results are expected instantly. That's the way of the game. Harsh? Maybe. Probably. But it is what it is. Petr Cech was involved in planning the successor. So that must have been a tough one for him because obviously they're such good friends. Ralf Raniak was offered the job on an interim basis. He turned it down, which I find quite interesting. You know, he's a coveted man right now for a job, yet he's either not chosen or he turns a role down. It's interesting. But Chelsea wanted one man, apparently, and one man only, and that was the former PSG and Dortmund head coach, Thomas Tuchel. Well, this week, you know, it seems the perfect week to talk about the profile of the man, who he is, what will he bring to the club, and much more. So, yeah, I'll ramble on for a little bit more before I throw a question out. Who is he? Well, Tuchel, he's far more known for his managerial career than his playing one, having been forced to retire around 25 with a knee injury. His first major role was with Mainz, replacing Jurgen Klopp, where he spent five seasons. He left that club in 2014 after a dispute over finances, hired by Dortmund a year later. Again, yep, replacing Klopp. And Tuchel spent 2 years at Dortmund before being sacked. He then replaced Unai Emery at PSG in 2018. Recently relieved of his duties December, Christmas Eve, which was a lovely Christmas present, that. The club are third in League One, Ligue 1, which isn't acceptable, as we know, with PSG and their power. But what did he achieve during his time at those three sides? Well, at Mainz, he took a newly promoted club in 2009, and with extensive use of their young prospects, he established them as Bundesliga regulars. And yeah, he was sacked by Dortmund, but in those two seasons, he finished second and third in the league, as well as winning the German Cup in his final campaign. He won back-to-back titles with PSG, as well as two cups. He guided them to the Champions League final last season, where they lost to Bayern in the final. What do you make of Tuchel's career so far, guys?
Yeah, I think it's been a very, very decent career. I don't think he's the most experienced manager, but from what I've heard and what I've seen in interviews and stuff, he's very highly regarded by all the players that he's managed and by, you know, his counterparts. I mean, Klopp has said loads of good words about him. He's been compared to Guardiola a lot, which is never a bad thing in my eyes as a manager. I mean, it can only mean good things. Obviously, the disputes with the board is a bit of a red flag, in my opinion. I mean, especially with our club, where, yeah. I mean, you look at Conte and how he fell out with the board and so on. You could name probably about four or five managers that fell out over finances and stuff. It is interesting to see how he will work with Roman and Marina. But from what I've seen so far, he really talks to the press really well, which I think is really good. He comes across as a really genuine guy who really genuinely loves and wants to play good football. I saw that against Wolves. That's not a thought. We set up brilliantly. Yeah, you could argue, you know, we didn't create many chances and this and that. Hard to against a team that played, or felt like 22 men behind the ball. But yeah, there's positives there to take. I mean, at PSG, I think with Mbappe and Neymar in that league, I think you've got to be winning leagues, and he's the only manager to get to a Champions League final. So that's very good to see. If he can get us to a Champions League final, then brilliant. I can't wait for that. But yeah, I think there's positives from what I've seen already to go forward, definitely.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think the one thing I would say is he seems like a very adaptable manager. Looking at all the teams he's had, you couldn't pick his team on paper the day before the game because he likes to throw a surprise in. He likes to adapt to the opponent that he's playing against, which I think makes the best coaches. We shouldn't be predictable. Teams shouldn't be able to set up knowing how we're going to play. Because he likes to throw in different formations, different ways of playing. I think his... What he did at Mainz is a great achievement, and using a lot of young players there, which everyone seems to be concerned about him not using any of the academy lads at Chelsea, but I don't think that'll be the case. He's used young players wherever he's been, except maybe PSG, but that's because PSG don't really have young players. They like to buy people, so you can't really blame him for that. But if the club sets up to have good academy products coming through, he will definitely use them. I think getting PSG to the Champions League final is actually a bit understated. he done something which every other PSG manager has failed to do. They couldn't get over the line, but they was playing, you know, Bayern Munich, who are head and shoulders the best team in Europe.
Yeah.
So, you know, just getting into the final, he already broke a barrier that PSG, despite all their money, have always failed to do. So I think that achievement has been really understated, actually. So I think he deserves a bit more respect for that.
Yeah, I mean, that run as well. I mean, of course, there was no second legs due to, obviously, the pandemic. But, you know, to take on Atalanta and they won, and that was obviously, they were incredible. And they still are amazing, amazing side, attacking-wise. And Leipzig, they had the talent they did. OK, they didn't have Werner at times, obviously, with the transfer to Chelsea and all that. But still, and they were, I would argue, they were probably the better team in the Bayern the final for a while. I mean, obviously, you know, if you don't win, you don't win. It doesn't matter how close you came. You know, Bayern will stand that ground for themselves in 2012. Were Chelsea the better team in that final? Probably not. But, you know, it's whoever holds that trophy at the end of the night. And it is that. I mean, off the field and on the field clashes are a huge red flag, of course. You know, at Dortmund, there was a breakdown in the relationship between Tuchel and the former chief scout, Sven Mislintat, over the recruitment of Olivier Torres. Apparently that deal had been negotiated, but Tuchel changed his mind during the closing stage of the transfer and it was never completed. And I've just realised I've pronounced his name differently again. Damn, need to stop that. But yeah, the chief exec at BVB, Hans-Joachim Watzke and Tuchel, they clashed over the handling of the situation after the team bus was attacked. I'm sure everyone, unfortunately, remembers that harrowing incident by the roadside bombs in 2017. The manager obviously took all, he didn't want his squad to line up against Monaco a day after because they were shaken up. Dortmund's hierarchy took, said that he didn't communicate this stance. Okay. Then the divisions grew deeper, and in an article with a newspaper, I'm never going to get this proper, but Shadush Zeitung, that's going to be wrong. A BVB source was quoted to say, yeah, we're all laughing at me. We were warned by Mainz that he would likely become difficult. We didn't listen for a year and a half. Everything was great. Then everything was just as Mainz said it would be. Obviously, these issues have occurred at PSG when he said famously, I only want to be a coach. And to be fair, that'd be all right with Chelsea because that's how they kind of want. They want a coach. They don't want a manager. That's always kind of been how we've been under the Abramovich era. You know, those seven words are a good window into why the 47-year-old spells tend to obviously sour. But, you know, he's exceptional on those training pitches and he in the technical area. We saw that as well in the debut against Wolves. You could see the slight difference. It's one training session, so it's not going to be incredible. But, you know, yeah, OK, he struggles to find common ground with the board, the staff, sometimes players. He had a spat with Kylian Mbappe. What are your feelings on his relationships and the breakdowns with the clubs he's managed?
It's always a red flag because you don't want any form of toxicity around a club, without a doubt. I'm sure wherever you go, whatever club you go to, there is falling outs, is arguments, there's this and that. Unfortunately, with him, it's cost him his job three times now. Now, is that down to him or is that just bad luck? We'll have to wait and see. It's hard to say at the moment. I actually think from what I've seen so far, he seems a really good man manager. Now, bear in mind, I've only seen clips of one training session and one game. Yeah. So it's hard to say anything like that. But he looks a very, very clever man manager. He doesn't seem to talk to, I think with Conte and Sarri, they're quite hot-headed. But I think with Tuchel, I think he's actually quite calm at times and quite sort of, not laid back, but sort of puts his point across very calmly and makes sure players know what he's talking about, which is good. I think that's a good sign. But when you've got players like Kylian Mbappe, let's face it, Kylian Mbappe is the Neymars, you know, the Diego Costas of the world. They're always going to cause trouble for any manager, no matter who they are.
Of course.
So, you know, I mean, if Conte was there, Mourinho was there. Let's not forget Mourinho has fallen out with loads of people over the years, and it's cost him his job as well. So, you know, you can't just say like Tuchel's sort of a bad person or a bad sort of manager because he's thrown out of a few people, because that might not be the case. You know, we've only seen sort of one side of the story. So I'd say judge him after a spell here and then sort of see what's happened to sort of get a proper judgment on what sort of character he is.
Yeah, I think when you look at his relationships with the hierarchy, the Dortmund one, if all the problems started after the bus attack, that comes from a really emotional incident which will probably never occur again. And, you know, that breakdown in relationship happened in something which a lot of the players and probably Tuchel struggled to get over, and maybe they didn't feel support from the board in that. So that's a real sort of isolated incident. So I don't think you can read too much into his falling out there. The PSG one, to be honest, I agree with Berth. I think from what I've seen of him so far, his man management with the players looks really good. If you look at how Pulisic has reacted to him coming back, Thiago Silva working with him again, these players don't seem to have a bad word to say about him, and I haven't seen many players come out and say anything negative about working under him. Yeah, the Mbappe situation, that might come from the fact that Kylian Mbappe doesn't want to be at PSG anymore.
That's a shame.
You're a manager, if you're a manager and you're trying to achieve things with a club and you've got your best player, you know, let's face it, slightly underperforming, and he's doing it because he doesn't want to be there. I think he does have a right to say something to Mbappe. I think Mbappe will have a lot of run-ins with PSG until he gets the move away that he wants. So I don't think you can read too much into that either, I think. But from what I've seen of him and the lack of negativity from former players, I don't think there's going to be too much to worry about. I mean, he's only on an 18-month contract. Let's face it, he's a Chelsea manager. If he lasts 2 years, he's done well.
Yeah.
You know, he might not even have time to fall out with the board before he's shown the door anyway. I don't think we're a club who has to worry too much about that sort of stuff.
I mean, fair play. We've learned our lessons, giving extended deals and having to pay out huge settlements. I think Conte probably taught us that. Yeah, exactly. He looks a great man manager. And you've got a strong point there. I can't think of Mbappe, of course. We know there's politics going on behind the scenes. Is he going to stay? Is he going to leave? Yeah. But I haven't heard a player come out and say, didn't like him, or he didn't really improve me, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a positive. And obviously, he gets on well with Christian Pulisic. So, you know, that's hopefully we see the best from him as well. And Kai and Timo. And Rudiger as well. You know, those are our German trio. So fingers crossed on that.
Thiago Silva as well. Thiago Silva.
Thiago.
Tuchel didn't want to let Thiago Silva go.
That is true.
So bear that in mind. I mean, Thiago Silva will be in our team now for the rest of the season. There'll be no falling out of him. No. So that core of the side now will be set. They won't. You would have thought there's a good connection there already, a good natural connection there already. So we won't have to worry about sort of, you know, getting to know each other. They'll already know him and they'll know how he works.
Yeah, 100%. So the question now we're going to move on to is, what will Thomas Tuchel bring tactically to Chelsea? I mean, what's his playing style? Well, he seems a tactically flexible coach. He retains the formations of both Emery at PSG and Klopp at Dortmund, but then he applied his own spin. At Dortmund, he placed an increased emphasis on possession with the lengthier build-up play that involved their players had more time to rotate into different areas of the pitch and maintain fluidity in their attacks. Their central attacking mids playing in front of a single defensive mid, they were particularly influential. Marco Reus relished in operating in that advanced role. He would rotate with, obviously, a Chelsea player we've got now, obviously Christian Pulisic and Henrik Mkhitaryan. They play in behind Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. And he remained fixed as their central attacker. Aubameyang was consistently supported by their two wide forwards and two attacking central mids. Dortmund's fullbacks would also obviously advance, but didn't necessarily provide overlapping runs. Is this going forward something you can see Chelsea's current side adapting to and becoming quite a force with?
To be honest, I was actually amazed at his setup last night. When I first heard the rumours that, you know, Hudson-Odoi would be at wing-back, I thought, is this a joke? I genuinely thought it was a wind-up. I honestly couldn't believe what I was seeing. Like, because you think Hudson-Odoi, wing-back, full-back, you just don't see it, do you? He's a winger. That is what he is. But last night, Hudson-Odoi is our best player. And the way he set up, he had Chilwell on one side, then Hudson-Odoi on the other. It freed Ziyech up to go into the centre and almost work as a number 8/10 and Havertz as sort of him and Havertz are interchanging. It was really impressive. And then Chilwell and Hudson-Odoi would just bomb up the field. And it sort of leave Azpilicueta to sort of not get that far up the pitch where he's not that comfortable. It was almost a hybrid of a back three/back four. Because you wouldn't say really Hudson-Odoi was a wing-back or a full-back, but he wasn't a winger either. The same with Azpilicueta. He weren't really a centre-back, but he weren't really a right-back. So it was a really interesting setup, and he's very, very adaptable to sort of managing, really. I think he can sort of work with whatever formation he's got, and he won't just use the same formation over and over again. Like, you know, your Sarri's of the world and Conte's of the world. And Lampard, he became too predictable this season. And like last night, I didn't predict that one bit. I didn't think Hudson-Odoi would be where he was. And it proved that he knows what he's talking about, Tuchel, because Hudson-Odoi was the best player on the pitch. Ziyech, I thought, was fantastic in that sort of more central role than he has been. And I thought Havertz was really good as well. So we didn't get the 3 points last night, but I think going forward, tactically, we're going to be a lot better going forward, because I think we just looked a bit more compact as well. In the midfield, we didn't look like we was getting past easily. I know his walls and they sit very, very deep, but we just looked solid. Going forward, we looked solid. At the back, we looked solid, and it wasn't too sort of all over the place. It was very sort of structured, and that's a good sign, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the most impressive things was, I think under any other manager, if I'd seen the team line up with Hudson-Odoi as a wing back, and I think any other opposition manager would have seen the same, you would have seen the team target him and push him back the other way and turn him into a right back, which he isn't. That didn't happen once. And I think that was so impressive, the way he made us win the ball back so high up the pitch, and we pushed Wolves back so deep, almost to a detriment of it to ourselves, really, that they went so deep that their winger was marking Hudson-Odoi.
Yeah.
Neto and Traore, who were so dangerous on the counter-attack, they couldn't, because they was playing at full-back for Wolves. It was incredible to see. And the setup in the middle of the pitch, we completely outnumbered Wolves. I know we've been getting a lot of stick for having possession but not doing anything with it. But if you look at how many times, actually, we got into good positions, we just didn't get the final ball. And, you know, there was one right at the start of the game where Hudson-Odoi and Ziyech play the 1-2, and Hudson-Odoi puts it across and Giroud just misses it at the near post. And I think if Giroud had turned that in, and you take an early lead in that game, I think we'd probably go on to win 3 or 4, because Wolves will come out a bit more. And I think that was the only difference. But I thought tactically in the setup, even on goal kicks, you could see the difference. Under Lampard and Sarri before him as well, we have been so slow at building from the back. Like, the goalkeeper's took it short to the centre-back, and it's been passed around between the two centre-backs and the goalkeeper for 10 minutes before moving into midfield. Every time we had a goal kick, it was played out to Azpilicueta or Rudiger, and the first thing they did was they ran the ball 20 yards up the pitch and then played, and then we kept the ball. But if you look at where our possession was, it wasn't on the edge of our own penalty area. It was always in the Wolves' half. We were keeping a lot of the ball, but it was always higher up the pitch than it has been. And I think that's what people didn't notice, that yes, we did just keep the ball a lot, but it was higher up the pitch and it gave us more opportunities to create chances. Last night was just frustrating because we never got the final ball right, but in terms of our speed of movement on the ball, I thought it was really good. And I thought that the tactical setup, what he managed to get out of those players after 1 hour's training session, I mean, it begs the question, what will he get out of them with a full week?
You know what, as well, what was interesting that game as well, I totally agree with you, Chris. I think, like, people say, they didn't really create much, they're just keeping the ball. But you look at the pace and how we moved the ball, and like, it weren't just sort of from side to side, it went from left to right. He was popping it about really well. And against another team, I think we would have scored a couple of goals, because it was Wolves and they sat back. It was hard to break them down. I think any team would have found it hard against Wolves last night, not just us. So you can see what he's trying to do. And another point I'd like to make, you know, we actually tried a lot more long balls last night. Obviously, I don't think we should be playing a lot of long balls, but we was playing to Giroud's strengths. Whereas before, we just wasn't playing to our striker's strengths. We was just passing it. And then say if Bernard was playing, he'd make a run and then no one would find him. He'd sort of work the ball and then try and work the ball into the box as if Giroud was playing. But last night, we tried to long ball it to Giroud because that's what he is, a target man. And yeah, right, it didn't come off, but it's good to see that we're actually playing to our players' strengths now, instead of just sort of, right, go up there, express yourself, work the ball, try and get into the box and score. We're working to our strikers' plan and working to our wingers and so-and-so strengths, and that's a really good sign to see.
Yeah, I mean,
there was a moment as well.
Go on.
Sorry, Michael. There was a moment as well in the first half where we win the ball back on the halfway line and it breaks free to Havertz, and he went on that run where he got the shot away, but he was falling over at the end. That's what we haven't been doing. I haven't seen that in the last 8 weeks. I haven't seen us once in the last 8 weeks turn the ball over and drive at the defence. And
yeah.
I think that's what Tuchel wants. He wants that to play that counter press, win the ball back high up the pitch, and then drive into the spaces that the opposition have left. You know, just because it didn't work out one game, people are talking about we're just going to be another boring possession based team. I didn't see that yesterday. I just seen a team playing against another team who didn't want to venture past the halfway line. So of course we're going to dominate the ball. I don't think that's how Tuchel though wants us to set up.
No, I mean, he adapts to the opposition. Will we see three at the back? Maybe not a lot going forward, but it was always likely against Wolves. And, you know, I tweeted about it. They sat 11 men behind the ball. You could have put Nuno in goal as well and the one on the bench because you knew what they were going to do. They were there to strangle the game, so to speak, and take a point in a clean sheet. And that's what they did. You know, obviously, we set up with a 3-2-4-1 formation and we had a lot of possession and we made a lot of key passes. Havertz and Ziyech were obviously playing in between the lines and they were occupying the half spaces with the focus of dragging the Wolves centre-backs out to open up space. It's good to see. I mean, it's one training session. I'm not expecting miracles, but I'm really excited to see how it develops. And we said off-air before Berth joined the chat. Sorry, Berth. But
that's right.
If Chilwell missed that chance in the game, if that had been Alonso, could have been a goal. You know, we know how Alonso plays. So, yeah, defensively, though, Tuchel's flexibility with his team shape has inevitably contributed to sort of a further variety when they're out of possession. For example, at Dortmund, his fullbacks didn't advance, meaning they could cover the inside channels. And with that single pivot at the base of their midfield remaining central, their wide forwards and attacking mids then have more freedom to attack. So it's a nice, healthy balance for sure. If they instead used, obviously, a back three and wing-backs, those wing-backs' higher positioning meant reduced cover around that single pivot during like the turnovers of possession. Even if the additional central defender made them stronger there, you know, their reduced numbers in midfield made it harder to regain the ball further forwards, and it prevented their opponents from obviously coming on and advancing onto them. So the double pivot that was at Dortmund gave them increased defence strength, as it would, but it came at the expense of an additional attacker, and therefore it did little to prevent defensive transitions. How do we feel going into the second half of the season under a new manager? And, you know, we'll move on to final thoughts before we conclude. But, yeah, that second half of the season, new manager, how are we feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I think his adaptability will be a positive for us. I think against Burnley this weekend, I wouldn't be surprised if we went with a different formation. Maybe with, say, a Werner up top so we can get him behind. I think it's really good. Good to see. Obviously, new manager, so you don't know how well he will adapt and how well he will do. But the early signs are really good. And I do think going forward, I mean, it's such a weird season, but I do think we can still push the top four, top three. So fingers crossed we get there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think aside from, I think when once people really get over the fact that Lampard has gone, and once we start winning a couple of games, if we were to beat Burnley and then go and beat Tottenham, I think people would start forgetting them. And then I think he'd bring a positivity back. He reminds me a lot of, I watched his first press conference earlier, and he reminds me a lot of when Conte took over. He's got that sort of enthusiasm and that sort of charisma, and it just brings an optimism with him. I think we'll be a good team to watch either way. I do think from now to the end of the season, whether results will be determined by how quick these players can adapt to what he wants. I think if these players can adapt quickly with his tactical knowledge, I honestly don't see any reason why we couldn't easily go and win 10 games on the spin. You know, we've got the quality in the squad and we just needed someone to bring it out. And the signs from Wolves was good. We're still in that hunt for top four. I still think teams like West Ham and Everton will fade away as the season goes on because of the lack of squad depth for them. So it's just going to be about getting ahead of Tottenham and Leicester, Liverpool maybe, who aren't in the best run of form either.
And it's such a weird season, though, because, yeah, exactly. Like, man, you lost to Sheffield United at home last night. I mean, no one could have predicted that. Liverpool were saying, we were saying at the start of the season that they're going to run away with it. And we said Man City weren't going to win it. Now they're looking like their favourites. at one point, us and Tottenham were the only two that looked like was going to win the league. Leicester are still there. Everton and West Ham are doing really well. Anything can happen now between now and the end of the season, and it's going to be interesting to see how Tuchel adapts and how he works with the squad. Hopefully, with the core of our team being German now and Thiago Silva already working with him, I'd like to think the understanding is already there. They know what they're in for. So hopefully we can build on the Wolves' performance, get win against Burnley, and then kick on from there.
With the title odds, at the moment, City are 1-4 odds on. And then you've got Liverpool 13-2, United 11-1, Spurs are 22-1, Leicester are 30-1, then Chelsea are 150-1, which is, it's fair. You know, I think top four is our ambition again. It's going to be difficult to get there, but it's again that it's a couple of wins on the spin, and all of a sudden you're shooting up the table. It's a mad season, and look at where West Ham are. They're in the top four. You know, that's something. And they're not even in the betting for the top four. That says it all. So it's going to be a difficult one. It's taking over that fourth spot again. I mean, going into the second half of the season, I think it a new manager, obviously when you're kind of up the top end of the table, not relegation battling, you got that positivity and all that. I know there's been social media, there's toxicity and all that. At the end of the day, we've got to support the club. Thomas Tuchel didn't come in and throw Lampard out the door. He didn't do that, did he? It's, you know, and he got sacked on Christmas Eve. So let's spare a thought there. Yeah, we got to back Thomas. You know, I'm sure. One game, and I'm already excited for what could be, and it is a big could be. Realistically, though, top four, that's going to be the aim, as it always is with Chelsea. You know, finishing the Champions League, you get that revenue money. Apparently, we're still loaded going into the summer. That's why we're still being linked with the likes of Haaland, which, you know, when we spend big on anyone, it seems to go one or two ways, and you do worry if it's. But hey, we'll see. Haaland and Werner, maybe. Who knows? It's positivity. We've got to keep that going, and none of the negativity, no silly comments, no knee-jerk reactions, and just see how it plays out. That's kind of my final thought on it. Guys, I'll let you conclude. What are your final thoughts for the end of the season?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Mikey, to be honest. I mean, we've got a new manager now. Yes, we all love Frank. We always will for what he did for us. And for getting top four last season, that'll never be taken away from us. But it's a new time at Chelsea. You've got to back the manager. And I think most sane fans will back the manager. There are the odd few that are just weird and stupid. And they're not really fans, to be honest. But yeah, I think, you know, don't look at last night's performance and think, oh, Mount's not going to start now. Mount's going to be out of the team. That's not the case. I'm sure he's just resting him. Mount, he's so good, there's no way he'll be on the bench. Same for Reece James. There's no way Reece James will go the whole season without playing now. You know, same for Werner, same for Abraham. You know, he's had one training session. He's gone for established players that he's seen before and worked with before. You know, he's still working out what his best team is and this and that. Give him chance. Give us time to gel, just like we did with Lampard.
Yeah.
And then we'll take it from there. Top four is easily achievable right now. We've got a great manager, great players. Nothing's really changed in that sense. So let's back him all the way.
Chris?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's time for the fan base to come back together and be a bit more positive. At the end of the day, we support the club and it's the results of the club that matter more than anything. It matters more than who stood on the sideline or who's playing on the pitch. The results of the club are what take priority. And now I think it's time for the fans to pull together. You know, the Mason Mount situation, people were disappointed he didn't start, but I actually believe this will make Mason Mount a better player. I think he's got the right mentality, but under Lampard, he almost was guaranteed to start. And I think Tuchel will push him more and make him into a player who knows that he has to be at his best every day to get in the team. And that will only improve a player like Mount. I think Tuchel will bring more out of our young players. And I think it's a really exciting time
going
now to the end of the season.
It's that tactical knowledge as well that he brings that he's only going to improve players. It's as simple as that. Give it time, of course. With that, we've come to the end of the episode. We didn't really want to have to talk about when a manager's sacked, but unfortunately, it is what it is. So it's time for the social media plug. Where can we find you both?
On Twitter, I'm at Chris Burford.
And on Twitter, I'm at Chris09Adams.
And you can find myself on Twitter and Instagram as that redhaired dude. For all things At The Bridge Pod, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram by searching for At The Bridge Pod. So you can drop us a like, a follow, keep up to date on all things Chelsea, keeping that positivity, the positive vibes going. So till next time, listeners, that is us signing off.